Northern Tominaga came from University of Tokyo and KITP. I appreciate for giving me a chance to talk on our work. Our work is on the Coacoropsubanobi, so the bit different from the main topic of this workshops. But please, so excuse me for. So first, I will explain the extremely what is the extremely metal clusters. And so the metal clusters are classified by with metallicity by Beers and Kristolip 2005. So in my talk, focused on the metal clusters with Fe over H is smaller than minus 3, it means that the ratio of iron to hydrogen is smaller than 1/1000th of the solar ratios. But the mega metal clusters and ultra metal clusters have not been detected, so my talk discuss hypermetal cluster and metal clusters and extremely metal clusters. Why we focus on metal clusters with Fe over H is smaller than minus 3 is that this is because the EMP stars are considered to reflect the nucleosynthesis in a single POP3 supernova. So this shows the metallicity and carbon over Fe, so the ratio of carbon to the iron. So you can see from this figure the diversity of carbon over Fe is smaller for higher metallicities. So according to hierarchical chemical evolution model, the metal clusters with Fe over H larger than minus 3. So such metal clusters reflect the nucleosynthesis in not only one, but so nucleosynthesis in several supernovae affects the abundances of such metal clusters.
Sorry, why is it minus 3 the border between one supernova and?
So correctly speaking, his paper estimated these stars are these stars reflect as so maybe for example 5 or 10 supernovae.
How does he know that?
But this border is not so strict. So
basically, tungsten apply three kind of triples to have the ejecta margin make industrial abundance. He tested, I think, in three approach. Here, I don't remember.
Taking account of the hierarchical clustering or the vertical simulation, and they assume the star formation history and how industrial medium is enriched in his scenario. In that case, above Fe over H minus 3, a lot of supernovae contribute to the richness of the interface medium. But that the number of minus 3 is
small on the
If I look at this hypermetal core,
it appears to me it's just a question of how you define the metallicity. There may be iron core, otherwise normal metallicity, so why do we define them as extremely metal core? Being a theoretician, I usually put everything above helium into metals and then... Do that,
those stars are not metal poor. Well, carbon is still deficient by a factor of 10 to the sun.
Well, but not extremely metal poor.
Yeah. Okay, I have to say that.
On average, supernovae produce iron.
Yeah, but over if you would put in the oxygen, it would have the same trend. It would go up for the ultra metal poor stars. And now ESO has a couple of spectra and good data. They see the oxygen, and the oxygen is up by 3 orders of magnitude relative to that line here, zero line, for the extremely metal poor stars. And it's just a question that people, I would think, for convenience, because it was easy to measure iron, have always taken iron as a metal indicator. And they should go away from
it. They should go away from that
if they have other data, say on oxygen, for instance, they take oxygen as a metal indicator.
But oxygen is impossible to measure.
No, it's not impossible. Well, now have
what requires 3 days on the VLT.
It's a question of convenience. It's not a question of physics.
No,
I'm talking about physics.
How am I to understand that carbon to hydrogen is so much higher for these hypermetal poor stars than it is for those mildly metal poor or moderately metal poor?
No, it's a question related to the iron. You take the iron, you take... however you define the standard, and the point is that it appears to me, from the physical point of view, that these stars, these dense stars, are very depleted in iron. It's their only peculiarity. And they only appear so peculiar in metallicity because people, for years and years and years, are used to take iron
so as
one metal indicator.
What
you're talking about metallicity in two different definitions.
Yeah, that's right. What do you call their metallicity then?
I always jump in because I'm already convinced Francesca Primas to try to do some
iron normalization. How the iron matter depends on the mechanism?
The chemical inception of iron is taking that as a primary indicator.
I have four orders of magnitude.
Remember,
the simplest, especially from 0 to minus 3 of any of the elements. After minus 3, I agree, it's not a one-to-one correspondence. But below minus 3, if you use oxygen, you would be crazy. Because it's not a good indicator. Single events can muck things up. Where it's very difficult to have that happen.
That's what we are going to learn, or hopefully going to learn.
Okay, we have a consent in iron core stars?
Yes, because it's no more than calling the metal core stars.
Okay. So, hyper iron plus us. Okay. So, anyway, so these stars are named so extremely metal plus us. So, in this talk, I will say metal plus us. So, excuse me. So the extremely metal process has a subclass of carbon enhanced stars. These are called carbon enhanced extremely metal process. So. And two hypermetal clusters are observed, but between these metallicities, so this region is corresponding to ultrametal clusters. In this region, no stars, no ultrametal clusters are observed so far. So someone called this region the metallicity desert. So so the main I would say so these stars are good indicators for supernova nucleosynthesis because the abundances of these stars would reflect so nucleosynthesis in a single supernova. So the carbon over iron tend to be larger for lower metallicity, so lower FeO by H. This is the general trend. Also, the detailed abundance ratios of metal clusters are shown here. This red point is extremely metal clusters. This so the carbon by Fe is almost zero. Is about zero. Carbon enhanced extremely metal clusters are carbon over Fe is about so it's larger than one, and in this star magnesium over Fe is also enhanced. Hypermetal clusters. Sorry. Hypermetal clusters. show very high ratio of carbon to iron. So it's about 4. So these hypermetal clusters are iron deficient, but carbon is not so deficient. And these two stars show high carbon by Fe, but almost same value of carbon by Fe, but the magnesium by Fe is different between the two hypermetal clusters. The similarity and the difference in hypermetal clusters are very interesting issues. So these abundance patterns are reproduced by one-dimensional model taking into account aspherical effect. This figure shows the fitting by these models. These works reproduce the abundance pattern of extremely metal cluster with hypernova model and carbon enhanced extremely metal cluster with faint hypernova model.
Isn't carbon produced giants?
It could be, but these stars doesn't show S process elements enhance, so the enhancement of S process elements. So there are no evidence of so the contribution of AG vistas. Also giants.
How can that be avoided?
These
things before they explode, they have to go through those stages of stellar evolution.
Oh,
I don't know if you're the person asked this, but somebody.
Could you
he mentioned the same stuff, not binary evolution yet.
That's right, there's two more.
But he answered just about it, why we don't think binary.
Oh.
Mismatch.
Oh, it's
not. You were just asking how you avoid
HGB.
HGB stars, and you make, if you've got 15 solar mass progenitors or greater, they never survive to the an AGB stage.
They may make carbon, but that's part of the supernova explosion. Yeah. So.
Mm-hmm. They don't do anything before they explode.
Well, it never gets to the surface. Never pollutes the medium, because by the time it does, the supernova blows the whole thing up, and it's all included in the things that they're calculating.
And so the abundance pattern of hypermetal clusters are reproduced by a faint supernova model. So the reason of hypernova, so the reason why the abundance pattern is reproduced by hypernova is that this high ratio, so high cobalt over iron and zinc over iron ratios. These ratios is realized by the high entropy environment, so the explosive nuclear synthesis in high entropy environment. So in spherical symmetry case, the high entropy explosion means that high energy explosion. So they conclude hypernova explosion is necessary to reproduce. And so at when Yamamoto et al. Is published, there are no observation of cobalt and zinc over Fe for hypermetal clusters, but in 2005, a proceeding by Bessel and Kristlieb give a high cobalt over Fe ratio for one of hypermetal clusters. So although the abundance pattern of these metal clusters are reproduced by one-dimensional model, but there are several issues. There are still several issues. One is a cobalt over Fe in these hypermetal clusters, and the other thing is, other issue is what causes the difference between these metal clusters. The one-dimensional model is the one-dimensional models parameterized the mixing and fallback process. So so what causes that difference is not clear from these works. So I change the topics. next, I explain the GRBs. So GLB is discovered in 1960s by Vela satellites. The phenomena, GLB is a phenomena emitting the gamma ray instantly. But the origin was covered in a long file. In 1990s, Compton Gamma Ray Observatory detects many GLBs from whole universe, whole sky. So the GLB, so it becomes clear that the GLB is not intergalactic events, but extragalactic events. The first?
Or very close.
Yeah. So, and the first group of first group was detected by Bepsax. Bepsax observed the X-ray afterglow of GLBs. So this is a Bepsax about. This is a observation of GLB 97028. So this is the first observation of X-ray afterglow. Once the satellites detects the X-ray afterglow, the localization is possible. So in 1998, supernova 1998 BW is observed in the inner circle of GLB at the same time. So, but in this case, the GLB and the gamma ray luminosity of this GLB 980425 is very weaker than the cosmological GLBs. So, there were suspicions on the GLB supernova connections. So the GLB supernova connection was established by GLB 030329 and supernova 2003DH detected. And the GLB is detected by HETI 2. The spectra changed from the power law shape of GLB afterglows to the spectra and the supernova spectra being similar to 98 BW. And so three nearby long GLBs, all of them are associated with hypernovae. So the hypernovae is a very energetic explosion of massive stars. And the luminosity very high. The amount of nickel 56, and the nickel 56 is a power source of the optical light of supernova. The amount of nickel 56 is larger than 0.3 solar mass. So this is a illustration of GLB and supernova, hypernova. The star collapsed, and the massive star collapsed, and the relativistic jet is penetrates the star and emits gamma ray and afterglows. This picture was believed until 2006, but in 2006, GLBs 060505 and 060614 is detected. The host galaxy of these GLBs, the redshift of the host galaxies, estimated at very low. So, and the associated, the detection of the associated supernovae expected, but the forward observation observe the rebrightening due to supernova light cloud. And this is a GLB hypernova, and this is a 02AP light cloud, the light cloud of GLB hypernova and 02AP. These points are upper limit. And so GLB, and this GLB also doesn't show the rebrightening. So these observations obtain the upper limit to the brightness of associated supernovae. The upper limit is upper limits are faint, so one of hundreds of 98 BWs. So the amount of nickel 56 should be smaller than 10 to the minus 3 solar mass. Why the supernovae are not detected? There are several suggestions. One is a chance superposition. It means that the host galaxy is not a real host galaxy. So the estimate of redshift is mistaken. But they suggest only they suggest the chance superposition only for GLB 060614, and his estimation is done by the number counts of the field of view. So the possibility of a chance for superposition is not high enough to explain these two GLBs. Another the second suggestion is a short GRBs with long tails. It's based on the time lag of the GRB spectra. And so the lag between the different energy bands. His suggestion is based on the time lag of the light curve in different energy bands. The main in this scenario, the main problem is the duration of the burst. But a suggestion made by King et al., white dwarf and black hole merger can made such made long burst even by merger scenarios. The third one is a long GRBs with faint supernovae. My talk is based on these scenarios. Why we consider such scenario is that faint supernovae are observed actually, but the faint all of faint supernovae are type 2 supernovae. And this is because type 2 supernovae can be detected by bright plateau. But type 1 BC supernovae don't have plateau, so it is difficult to observe faint type 1 BC supernovae. The amount of nickel 56 is estimated smaller than 10 to the minus 2 solar mass. And the amount of nickel 56 is almost comparable with the upper limit of upper limit to the no supernova GRBs. But the problem is this. So the explosion energies of faint type 2 supernovae are small, so smaller than 10 to the 51 ELGs. So in this case, this is a concern. So whether so just small amounts of nickel 56 can be compatible with the formation of energetic GRBs. And so I will summarize the long introduction. So in metal clusters, cobalt over Fe in hypermetal clusters is an unsolved problem. And what causes the difference among the extreme EMP star, CEMP star, and hypermetal clusters? On the aspects of GRBs, no supernova GRBs are the death of metal clusters, so massive stars as GRB hypernovae, or some white dwarf and black hole or some mergers. So to answer them, relativist hydrodynamical and nuclear synthesis calculation are required. So I developed a special relativistic hydrodynamics code. The density and velocity and energy density in the convolving frame interpreted to the density and momentum density and energy density in the observer frame. In the code, these equations are solved. And this figure shows the code test by my code, our code, and by other groups. The it shows density contours. The density contours are almost identical, so it just shows my code can solve the hydrodynamics properly. And so with this code, we calculate the jet-induced explosion. In the calculation, that jet generation and jet injection is assumed, and the jet is parameterized by several parameters. And in this talk, focus on the dependence on energy deposition rate. Once jet is injected to this direction, the materials fall back onto the central regions from the horizontal plane. The jets and surrounding jets, the materials surrounding jets are ejected to outward and will be observed as a supernova. So this is a summary of the jet parameters. In this study, we vary the energy deposition rate. The other parameters taken as same in each models. The progenitor is top 3 40 solar mass stars, and total deposited energy is 1.5 times 10 to the 52 L. Initial central remnant mass in the inner boundary is taken as 1.4 solar mass in the progenitor stars. The jet opening angle is assumed 50 degrees. The initial velocity is very high. The Lorentz factor gamma is 100. And the ratio of thermal to total deposited energy is taken 10 to the minus 3. So, and there are two sites of Nikkei 56 production. One is explosive nucleosynthesis in the shock between the jets and the stellar mantle. The shock is heated up and synthesize Nikki 56 explosively. And the other site is materials ejected as jet, but the jet, the amount, the jet mass should be small to be accelerated to up to very high velocities. For example, we apply 1.5 times 10 to the 52 Erics, and the materials is accelerated to up to the Lorentz factor gamma equal 100 with 1.5 times 10 to the 52 Erics. The mass, the amount of the jet should be smaller than 10 to the minus 4 solar mass.
What is the initial composition
in the jet?
In the envelope.
In the envelope is a progenitor model calculated by Umeda and Nomoto.
So it's layers of silicon oxygen.
Silicon oxygen and carbon and helium hydrogen.
And did I understand that the initial star, 34 solar masses, is just Big Bang nucleosynthesis, Z of zero?
Zero metallicity.
I don't mean to rush you, but you should probably aim to finish in about 10 minutes, okay?
In 10 minutes.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
I see. We want to hear the results.
So, this is the result. So, the red line is synthesized by explosive nucleosynthesis, and the blue line is ejected as jet. And so, this line, this axis shows the energy deposition rate. So, that's since the Nikki 56 decreases rapidly, and carbon by Fe and carbon by magnesium and carbon by oxygen is increased for smaller energy deposition rate. The the dramatical change occurs at this energy deposition rate. So the dramatical change stems from the balance between the lamp pressure of the jet and the infalling materials. In order to eject jet, the lamp pressure of the jet should overcome the lamp pressure of infalling materials. The P4 is written by density and velocity just above the inner boundaries. And these are written by the progenitor density and radius and mass, assuming the free fall. So this shows the critical energy deposition rate to and that provides a PJet equal P4. That shape, the value is smaller for actual calculation, but the shape is almost the same. This flat region is corresponding to the carbon oxygen layer which has shallow density gradient. So this line shows 3 times 10 to the 51 eggs per second. For larger energy position rates, so this the materials in the this region infold to the central region. So the infolding region is smaller for a larger energy dispersion rate. As a result, the amount of nickel 56 is larger for a larger energy dispersion rate. So this line is 3 times 10 to the 51 eggs per second. So these models eject nickel 56 larger than 0.1 solar mass. So these models are corresponding to the GRB hypernovae. On the other hand, no supernova GRBs are consistent with these models. And among dance ratios, so these models are corresponding to the these hypermetal pulsar and CMP and EMP stars. The detailed among dance patterns are shown here. The ARM models reproduce the abundance pattern well. And so, and the cobalt over Fe is enhanced relative to the one-dimensional model. And this is a number count of GRBs and hypermetal and metal clusters. 5 nearby GRBs consist of 3 GRB hypernovae and 2 no supernova GRBs. And 13 metal clusters with Fe over H smaller than minus 3.5 are observed, and 7 EMP stars and 4 CM EMP stars and 2 hypermetal clusters. The ratios are consistent. And this model, the region of ultra metal clusters is narrow, so it could be the reason of metallicity deserts. So this is a summary. Thank you very much.
So you were able to adjust this energy input, right?
Yeah.
And sometimes you've got very little iron, and sometimes you got explosive iron produced, so you have quite a lot more.
Yeah.
But what about in between? Where are the gamma ray bursts that have in between luminosity?
Where
are those guys?
Yeah. So soda bar Edward has.
You adjusted the knob and you turn up the energy deposition rate, and that gets you up into the regular gamma ray bursts, and down maybe to this kind where there's really a core collapse, but no iron, not much iron.
Yeah.
But you just turned the knob. How do you know there aren't? Where are those other guys? The ones with a rate from 10.
Yeah.
What do you think about that?
So from this model, there are no reason why we don't observe these GLBs. So it could be the
you said something about the distribution now of your metal core stars being consistent, but consistent with what?
So the EMP stars are 60% of metal cluster with F over H is smaller than -3.5 is 60%. It is consistent with 60% of GLB hyperbound. Just
okay, so you're associating the metal content of this array of metal core stars with having been created in situ in gamma ray bursts themselves, or in these
the pollution of the interstellar from those. That's the argument. I mean, you're trying to solve two problems at once.
Always
good. What is the speed of the jet when it penetrates the outer surface? As far as I remember, people who tried this found that the speed degrades to non-relativistic velocity when the jet penetrates the outer surface. The envelope is big enough, it's very hard to...
So in this calculation, we apply the POP3 star, so it has thick hydrogen layers. So in this model, we cannot observe GLBs, but if the envelope, hydrogen and the helium envelope was lost during the evolution, the pre-Sylvan evolution, the progenitor evolution. So the jet could be relativistic, and we could observe GLBs, I guess.
Okay, we should maybe cut off the discussion because we do have another speaker. But you know, if the question is short, or if the answer is short, do you have a short question?
Well, it was a quick question. Going back to the metal core stars, one test of where they come from can also be provided by your kinematics. You know, what kinematical population they come from. So, is there a correlation between their properties in terms of whether they're carbon core or
iron form and their motion with the galaxy, what population is it? So this in the jet-induced explosion, the shock velocity depends on the directions. So in this abundance ratio is integrated all integrated over all directions. So, to discuss the kinematics, we should divide the direction. To detailed investigation is a necessary to discuss.
Okay, I think we should stop now, take a short break, and then come back because we have another interesting talk. Thank you very much. So we'll come back in 5 minutes, okay?